We're in a series at H2O called We Believe, and some of you guys have been here for the part 1, 2, and 3. The first part I taught on was We Believe in the Holy Spirit. And again, the goal of why I'm teaching this series is trying to twofold, to introduce those that are new to H2O, really what is our culture, kind of what makes us tick as a church, what's really central to our core groups, and just kind of steer the ship to keep you guys focused, you know, like pointing the direction. This is what's most important. This is what we believe in. And so in week one, I taught on We Believe in the Holy Spirit. And in the second week, we shared a message called We Believe in Missions. And I talked to you guys about Bruce Olson, that awesome radical missionary to the Stone Age tribe in the Amazon, and incredible things that God did through his life. Last week, I taught a message called We Believe in Holiness, and talked about how our lives, as a Christian, your life will reflect holiness if you are a follower of Jesus Christ. And today, my final message before my sabbatical is, We Believe in Michigan football. In spite of what you think, we still believe. No, that's not my message. And don't assume that because this is the last message in the series that it's least important. It's not. And in fact, what I'm going to teach on today, which is called my message, We Believe in Core Groups, is not secondary. It is not lower down the ladder of priorities. Really, core groups are central to who we are as a church. I mean, they are central to everything we do and everything we believe. And our core groups tie directly into our mission as a church. God has given us a mission. And as you will see today, core groups are really central to us fulfilling that mission and accomplishing what God has put on our heart and called us to do. Now, when we talk about core groups, what we're really talking about is discipleship. And so the first thing I want to do with you guys today is try to define what we mean by disciple and discipleship. We hear that word all the time, right? You guys have heard of discipleship? You've heard of the word being a disciple? Well, what does it actually mean? Let me read a definition to you of a disciple. A disciple is a follower. Really, it is simply one that accepts and assists in the spreading of the doctrine. This is not a term that only applies to Christians. There are disciples all over the world, other religions, of course, but even in non-religious contexts, in the spread last century of the doctrine, the Marxist doctrine of communism, they were disciples of this ideology, right? And they would spread the doctrine and the teaching of it. So a disciple is simply that. A disciple is a follower of somebody, and they are committed to spreading the doctrine. And a Christian disciple, what we talk about in H2O, when we're talking about core groups, and we're talking about discipleship, we're talking about a follower of Jesus. Not a follower of your core group leader, not a follower of me, not a follower of any human on earth. But as a disciple, a Christian disciple, we are followers of Jesus. We will follow him wherever he leads us, and we are committed to spreading his doctrine to the ends of the earth. That is what it means to be a Christian disciple. So really, when we talk about discipleship in H2O, it's simply the process of training up disciples of Jesus who will train up more disciples of Jesus. You get that, right? Simple. Well, why is this so important? Because as I said, I really believe that core groups are the best way for us to make disciples at the University of Michigan. We've tried many things. We've tried many different strategies. But core groups are the best way to make disciples. I do want to say this, and I want you to remember this when I'm on my sabbatical. Core groups are not the end goal. Now, I'm going to say that again. Core groups are not the end goal. Our goal is not to have a bunch of core groups. The goal is to make disciples of Jesus Christ. The reason why we have core groups is because that's the best way to make disciples at U of M right now. And you see, because the core group ties into our mission. So you got to remember that it's all about the mission. Well, speaking of that, what is our mission? It's been a while since I brought this up. I think it's time to remind you guys of our mission. Who knows what the mission of H2O is at U of M? Who can say it? Having a lot of core groups all over campus. No. What is it? Okay. Libby said, she nailed it. To make disciples of Jesus Christ. Again, of Jesus. We are making Jesus known. And our mission is to make disciples of Jesus Christ at the University of Michigan. And several years ago, we said, you know, if that's our mission, we need to figure out the best way to accomplish it, and that's core groups. And if that's true, then we need to define our win. And so some of you, probably a lot of you don't know this, but we actually have a win. We know how we win in H2O. We know how to measure it, right? You know when U of M wins, right? You know when U of M loses. You look at the scoreboard. Well, how do you know what the win is? In H2O, this is our win. We win every time someone becomes a vital part of a core group. We win every time someone becomes a vital part of a core group. That's our win. Why is that? Because when a young lady becomes a vital part of a core group, she will most likely grow in Jesus Christ, become a disciple maker, build lifelong friends, have tons of fun. See, this is central to everything we are. That's why I say all the time on Sundays, I'm bug the staff when I say this, but I remind him of it way too much. Chris is nodding. Yes, I do bug him. Our Sundays in September have been larger attendance than before, and so I tell him, and I talk to the staff, I go, hey, that's not our win. Don't be infatuated with large numbers, because people can show up on a Sunday. You can have a crowd. That doesn't mean they're disciples, right? They can go home and be living in sin. They can have a parent that's dying of cancer and come here. Nobody knows it because they're not a disciple. They have no relationship. They're just sitting up in the upper deck, or they're sitting here in the front row. They don't know anybody. When the numbers are a little down on Sunday, don't be like, oh, man, things aren't going well. It's not our win. That's not what we measure in H2O. We win every time somebody becomes a vital part of a core group, because that's a step towards discipleship. And the goal is to make disciples of Jesus. So that's our mission. That's our win. And so today, what I want to talk about, and again, this message today, it's going to be real different than the whole we believe in holiness. And I know a lot of you guys, John Jones has heard this several times. I want to challenge you guys. When I share this, for core leaders, you know this. Don't just tune it out, but may this light a fire within you to say, yeah, I want to be committed to this. I'm really kind of sharing this message as like a lighthouse on a foggy day when you're in a ship, and I'm saying, this is where you're supposed to go, H2O. This is the beacon. This is where you're going. Don't forget it, okay? So I know you've heard it maybe, some of you haven't, but that's the kind of sermon this is. So if you think I'm going to beat up on you anymore like the We Believe in Holiness, you can just take a deep breath. We're done with that. Hopefully that convicted you. Today, we're going to talk about this. Why core groups? Well, let me go a little deeper with this. Number one, Jesus Christ himself modeled core groups. So if you're taking notes, if you're tweeting this, make sure you put hashtag H2O Church. Libby and I are trying to start a trend here. We're the only ones that do it. I mean, you can just go on Instagram and search hashtag H2O Church. You'd be Libby and I. But hey, join in the fun, you know. So if you're tweeting, what was Jesus' goal? And it's very simple. Jesus' goal was that every single person on earth would come to know the Father's love. That was the goal. Ultimately, that everyone would know the Father's love and come back to God. How did Jesus go about doing it? And this is where it is strikingly surprising. We find the method of Jesus in Mark 3. And I'm going to borrow somebody's Bible today because, you know, I have most of the Bible memorized, but I did have the passage on the screen. I don't have this one. Who has a Bible that I could borrow? Anybody have a Bible? Oh, right there. What version is that? Oh, I look so cute with this. This is like one of the Holly Hobby ones I used to have with a little bag they carry them. Those are cute. And it's the New King James? Oh, man, it's anointed. Woo! All right, we're looking at... It's actually nice to use the paper. I haven't done this in a long time. I need to go back to this. Get with my roots. Go back to the paper. I might start using the scrolls. Get really biblical, you know what I'm saying? I mean, hey, if you're going to go to paper, bypass it. Okay, Mark 3. This is striking. If you want to write it down, Mark chapter 3, verse 13 and 14. This is the method of Jesus, and I know it seems simple, but just please listen, and then we'll talk about it. And he went up, this is Christ, he went up on the mountain, and he called to him those he himself wanted, and they came to him. Then he appointed 12, now listen to this, that they might be with him, and that he might send them out to preach. We'll stop right there. Before the disciples of Jesus Christ were going to go out and preach, in other words, to make disciples, they were called to be with Jesus. Catch this. This is the strategy of Jesus. This is his method. He is the method. It wasn't an elaborate, complex system of church programs and having all these strategic plans on the table. Jesus Christ was the method. And his goal to reach the entire world was to get 12 people to be with him and just to absorb the love of the Father through him, to watch him do ministry, to watch him heal the sick, to watch everything he did. He was the method. And these 12 men did it. And for 3 years, these 12 men spent time with him. They were with him night and day. Oh, he's getting into that. Yeah. Ooh, I'm loving it, man. I'm thirsty too. Yes. After 3 years being with Jesus, it was time for them to take the baton. Look, write this down. Matthew chapter 28, very famous passage. I know you guys know it. But after spending these 3 years, Jesus then handed off the ball to them and said, take it and run with it. Oh, man, they've got this circled and highlighted here. Perfect. Right where I'm going, too. Matthew 28, 18, 19, and 20. Listen to this. Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen. This is, of course, the Great Commission. We talk a lot about this in H2O. Now, when we look at the Great Commission, and typically throughout the past 200-300 years, when you've talked about the Great Commission, most people in the church have focused on one particular verb in that passage. And the verb that most missionaries and Christians focused on was the verb go, right? We got to go, man. We got to take the gospel to China. We got to go and take the gospel to Uganda. We got to go and take the gospel to Sicily. And that has been the real emphasis. But when you break down this passage and you look at, there's several verbs there. The primary verb in the Great Commission that the entire passage hinges upon is the verb make disciples. Everything hinges upon making disciples. So when you read this passage, you read it as, therefore go, and as you're going, make disciples. Therefore baptize converts, and while you do that, make disciples. And while you're teaching them, make disciples. Everything you're doing, going, baptizing, teaching, it's all in the context of making a disciple of Jesus. Somebody's getting excited. I like when people get into this, because this is the central part of our vision in H2O. It's to make disciples. And you've got to be focused on this, and you've got to keep this central. This is what core groups are all about. The Great Commission is now your responsibility. It is. Paul's not here. Have you checked? Peter's not here, guys. And I know that sounds funny, but think about it. It's you. If you're not going to reach U of M and make disciples, who's going to do it? Seriously. No one's going to do it, guys. If you don't get up and say, man, put me in, coach. I'm tired of sitting on the sidelines. I couldn't stand that when I played basketball. I was the bench warmer. It's like, listen, we don't need to have any bench warmers in H2O. You can all be core leaders. We got room for you. But just say, put me in. I want to be on the core. I don't care how good I do. Just put me in. I want some action. Getting tired here. So the Great Commission is given. Now, Why are core groups the best way to make disciples? Let me talk about this with you. And I say this a lot, but for new people, you never heard this. Discipleship in the life of Jesus was a relationship. It wasn't a program. And the church in the past, we've tried to make discipleship some mechanistic program, like we're some sterile robots. We just show up and you download. You might as well just plug them in the matrix, man, and download the content, if that's what discipleship is. But discipleship is not that. Discipleship is a relationship. And Jesus modeled that by the way he lived and did ministry with the 12. And so we tried, man, in H2O, we tried every program known to man. We had Waterworks. We had Catalyst. We had different ideas that we tried to make disciples, but they were typically more of a classroom setting, and they had that classroom feel, and it wasn't really that whole Jesus and the 12 feel. It wasn't relationship, man. It was very sterile. And so discipleship is relationship, and core groups are the best place to make relationships. If you just come on a Sunday morning, and that's your only commitment level, you're not going to have vital relationships. Because, as you know, relationships happen in circles. They don't come in rows. And for those of you that never heard that, you're thinking that's deep. You could tweet that one. Relationships occur in circles. It's true, isn't it? Last night at pizza at the pastor's, I was sitting, we'd had a great meal, and everybody was happy, and I was sitting at the dining room table with one of our new guys in H2O. His name is Sam. He's an international from France. And we began to talk. We just talked about his family and talked about what he's trying to do and how he wants to get into grad school here. And he's got a position open for him. All he has to do is take the GRE and the TOEFL exam. And I guess he's in. The funding's there. Everything's ready. And I just listened to him. He said, yeah, I was in France. I have a master's. I went to France for 6 months. I can't get any job. There's no job. I have a master's in mechanical engineering. I can't even work in France. There's nothing. The economy's terrible. So I came back here and feel like God wants me to be here in the United States. And I said, well, let's pray right now. And so we just bowed our heads and we just sought God together. It was a powerful moment. You see, that can't occur here on a Sunday morning. That happens in a circle. And core groups facilitate relationship. They facilitate this atmosphere where real discipleship can occur. And the third reason why core groups are the best way to fulfill the Great Commission is because core groups are incubators for leaders. Man, they are incubators. You could have a church, we could pack this amphitheater out all year, and if we had no core groups, we're not going to raise up leaders. But core groups are an incubator for leaders. 2 Timothy 2:2. In that passage, Paul is talking to his disciples, and he's telling them, this is 2 Timothy 2:2, the things that you've seen in me, the things you've witnessed, these entrust to reliable men who will be qualified to teach others also. Paul is talking to Timothy. He's telling Timothy to entrust this into others who will then entrust it to others. Discipleship is transgenerational, and that's why in H2O we say this all the time, 2 Timothy 2:2 it to the world. We are here to 2 Timothy 2:2 it to the world. And the best place you can 2 Timothy 2:2 it is right in a core group. 2:2. Now, let me say this. Okay, so you're listening to me. You go, well, I don't know if I should do Sunday service or core group. Which should I choose? Let me help you choose. And I mean this. If you say, I can't do both, I'm going to say something that will totally surprise you because you're not used to pastors saying this. You should get in a core group more than coming on a Sunday morning. And why do most pastors not say that? Or why would I shouldn't say that. Why do some pastors not say that? Because you're not here. You're not part of the show, man. You're not giving money in the offering, right? But see, that's not our win. I mean that. That's not our win. Our win is raising up disciples. And I know if you only come on a Sunday, you're not a vital part of a core group. The chances of you building lifelong friendships are almost zero. But if you get in that core, man, you're going to grow. You're going to grow like a little weed for the Lord. That's a joke. You're going to grow like a flower for Jesus. And now, I believe My opinion is it's totally possible to be in a core group and to come on Sunday morning. Absolutely. And that's what I would encourage you to do, both. Be here on Sundays and be vital in a core group. But if you can't, then be in a core group. Be vital in a core group. And, you know, man, there's just so much I want to say. Let me say this. Discipleship is the goal. Core groups is the method. So I am willing, if you guys can show me a better way to make disciples of Jesus Christ, we'll stop core groups. I mean that. Because we're not a core group church, we're a discipleship church. And the goal is to make disciples. And if core groups isn't the best way, then let's, man, whatever's the best way to make disciples, I'm on board, man. If it means doing a headstand every Sunday and singing the Star Spangled Banner, I'll do it. That wasn't in the notes, but the point I'm making is we do core groups because that's the best way to make disciples, but we're not locked into that. We want to see this campus transformed. We want to see everybody know Jesus Christ and then see the gospel go to the ends of the earth, and core groups currently are the best way to do it. And then let me close this way, and this, I'm going to just kind of wrap this up, and this is for all the new people here, because core leaders, you guys already know this. But what are the elements of a core group? What do core groups look like? They're not Bible studies. They are a small group of probably, ideally, we're trying to figure this out, but ideally around 8 to 12 people by the end of the year. That's kind of a good size. 8 to 12. If it gets 15, it's getting a little hard to control that. It's a little too big. If you got 3 or 4, you don't have that momentum. So it's a small group of about 8 to 12 people where they build friendships, where they come together every week, same time, same day, and they laugh. Sometimes they eat good food. Sometimes they just eat Tostitos. They do study the Bible, absolutely. The foundation of our faith, you know, we're reading the Word of God, of course. But it's more than just a Bible study. It is life. It's doing life together in a small group. And we just have some fun together. When I was a student here, I never did homework on Friday and Saturday night. Not one time. You know why? I was hanging out with people that I cared about. I was having a blast, man. We were watching sports or praying together or playing a board game or just going out, whatever, man, doing evangelism. We were always, I was always with people on the weekend. That was the time. That's when you hang out with your core group. You just come on a Sunday, you're not going to get that dynamic. And then a second part of our core groups, and I want to really emphasize this, is, guys, we have this incredible opportunity for you called one-on-one discipleship, where our core leaders will intentionally pour into you. Every 2 weeks, you can meet together to talk about how you're doing, to study the Bible, to go through a curriculum. I want to encourage you to participate in one-on-ones. Be a part of that. That is the number one way you're going to grow as a new leader in core groups, is one-on-ones. And core group leaders, let me encourage you, while I'm on sabbatical, keep at it. You know what I mean? If you don't have your 2 people that you want to pour into, just keep going. It's not over, man. It's early. Keep praying. Ask God to show you who you're going to pour into. And just pour your life into those 2 ladies, those 2 men. If you're an overachiever, you maybe go for 3. But 2 is enough. One-on-one discipleship. And then, like I said, the core group is your family. Jason Kohler did a great job last year. I mean, that core group, awesome core group, where him and Nancy, you guys, man, they did awesome. That was a great core. And they really focused on, we are a family. We're not just showing up for a Bible study. You know, that's different, isn't it? You ever been to a meeting where it's just a Bible study? And then you ever been to a small group where it's a family? You go to Fuelers, that's the core group that we go to. It's a family. You know what I mean? I mean, it's family time. I mean, they're open to visitors. We love to have new people come, but they're laughing. They're hanging out. They're eating. I mean, it's a family. You can tell if you went there, you'd go, wow, these guys are not just doing a Bible study. They're committed to one another. That's what you get in core groups. So I'm going to have we're going to close here with a worship song. I'm going to have Chris come on up in a second. So we'll actually come right now. And worship band, if you guys are doing it together, come on down. But listen, guys, man, this is really the best way I could go into my sabbatical, is just to tell you, core groups have the power to transform you, to supercharge your relationship with God, and to give you lifelong friendships. I mean, we got it. We got seven to choose from. Just find one and let Jesus supercharge you this year. Let it be the greatest year of your life. That's my prayer for you.